Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our Word of the Week takes an in-depth look at important Bible words so we might increase and deepen our understanding of God's Word of Truth. We pray that these brief studies will enable you to get more out of your daily reading and hearing of God's Holy Word.
Welcome back to Burden and Blessing Podcast and our Word of the Week. This is Pastor Sam Rodabaugh, and our word of the day is the word covet. In the book Where the Red Fern Grows, the main character is a child named Billy, and at one point he's trying to capture a raccoon. His grandpa shows him the surefire way to catch the critter. All you need is a log with a hole in it, some nails driven in around the hole at an angle, and something shiny to put in the bottom of the log. What happens is the raccoon sees the shiny object, he reaches in to grab it, and as he tries to pull his closed fist out, he gets stuck on the nails. Billy tells his grandpa, all he'd have to do is open his paw, drop the piece of tin, and he could pull it from the hole. The response is given to the effect that no, the raccoon won't do that, because once it sets its mind on stealing something, it won't let go. Even if it means being trapped and eventually killed, a raccoon will just not let go. These particular animals are kind of greedy in this way, notorious for seeing shiny objects and stealing them. If only we were better than raccoons. Covetousness is a trap that the devil plays on each of us. Once we fall into the trap, it's hard to let go. If you ask the world for examples of sin, you'd get a number of answers. Murder, rape, stealing, molestation, physical abuse, judging. The thread tying these together is the world's definition of sin. Does it hurt someone else? If it doesn't hurt or affect anyone else, then it's not considered sinful. For this reason, things like sex outside of marriage, homosexuality, covetousness, are generally not considered as wrong. If it doesn't hurt anyone else, who am I to say that it's bad? This is the trap that the devil plays. If it only hurts or affects me, then it's not so bad. It's not a sin, if you're just thinking about it. God's definition of sin, however, is anything we do against his will, whether by thought, word, or deed. In the Ten Commandments, the 9th and 10th are placed there to teach us that sin can take place in our hearts and minds even if we don't act upon it. They are, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. God includes these commandments about coveting so that we are aware of the sin that takes place in our minds, even if no one else is the wiser. Our human flesh might otherwise think what the rest of the world thinks, that if it doesn't hurt anyone else, it's not wrong. With this mindset, we may even be led to think, I'm doing a pretty good job. After all, I've never murdered anyone, I've never stolen from the store, I've never had sex outside of marriage. Yep, in God's eyes, I must be all right. With this command against covetousness, we're broken of that mindset and taught that even the evil thoughts in my head are still considered sin. To covet means to desire passionately, to crave something that God hasn't already given you. We sin in this way when we are jealous of another's talents, popularity, or possessions. We sin in this way when we are greedy for money. We even are guilty of covetousness when we look at someone in lust. There's no way around it. We are all guilty of coveting. Even if we could convince ourselves that we haven't broken the rest of God's commandments, we would still come to this aspect of God's will and realize we can't possibly keep it. We may be tempted to think, it's not fair. How could anyone keep that commandment? But rather than becoming bitter towards God for setting a seemingly impossible standard, let's turn our attention to the only one who could avoid coveting. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. That's from Philippians chapter 2. Jesus knew perfectly that he possessed all the majesty of God from eternity and still possessed it in his human body. But Jesus did not consider this something to be exhibited or displayed for his own personal glory. He did not look out for his own advancement, nor did he strive to gain earthly fame and power. Rather, he was content to give up everything for you. Not only did he avoid sinning by deed, he also perfectly obeyed his father's will in thought. When he was delivered to the officers to be scourged, and as he was nailed to the cross and mocked, he didn't cry out, "It's not fair." Instead, he cried, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's exactly what he accomplished for us that day. Complete forgiveness for all our sins, whether of thought, word, or deed. We will continue to fall into the devil's trap of covetousness. It's very difficult to avoid. But when we are caught and convicted and cannot seem to find a way out of our guilty conscience, let's remember the Lord. He avoided coveting, and yet he sprung the trap on himself, allowing himself to be caught and killed. And by this, he frees us. Your sins are forgiven. Thanks for listening.
We encourage you to listen for a new word each week on Burden and Blessing Podcast, where we believe and confess that every word of God is true. Until next week, be assured that God's word is truth and is more precious than gold.